Good afternoon, my dazzling dears. Today is May 27th of 2015, and I am Bertel Mabarak. This is Gothropology, an anthropology-centric show with a goth twist. If you've been waiting for a guide to come and take you by the hand, here I am. Today, before I introduce my guest, who I'm sure you remember, I've had some lines running through my head. They're Tolkien. It's Lament of the Rohirrim, and I figure since I'm on air, maybe it'll make sense to someone else why I keep thinking about it. So I'm going to read it. Where now, the horse and the rider? Where is the horn that was blowing? Where is the helm and the hauberk and the bright hair flowing? Where is the hand on the harp string and the red fire glowing? Where is the spring and the harvest and the tall corn growing? They have passed like rain on the mountain, like wind in the meadow. The days have gone down in the west behind the hills into the shadow. Who shall gather the smoke of the dead? Wood burning, or behold the flaming years from the sea returning. Today I have Dr. Jimmy Darling, and we are going to discuss, I believe, specifically ancient Sumerian religion and society, how I'm sure you can elaborate more into it, but I'm sure you remember, master alchemist, occultist, and owner of nation's oldest occult store, Panpipes Magical Marketplace. So what is on your mind at this moment?
Oh, there is so much.
I can imagine.
There is so much. I'm glad to be back, and I want to thank you for having me back. This is quite an honor to be back again.
My pleasure.
There has been a lot in the community, and you know, I keep my head low and my voice high in the community, in the pagan and occult world. I try to see what's going on, and you know, offer reason here and there. What I'm seeing lately is a lot of people who are pushing themselves away from certain religions with anger. Mm-hmm. And I get why, you know, and there's a lot of anger to be had in the world today. But I'm glad you're giving me a chance to come back and talk about Sumeria.
Yeah.
One of the instances that I was talking about, I had a gentleman on my Facebook, and he... we were talking about fakes and frauds in the community. And one of my friends came on, and she's like, I'm a practitioner, but I'm also a Christian. And instead of asking her, how does that gel?
Uh-huh.
He went on the attack and said,
yikes.
Christianity has nothing to do with anything. Horrible, horrifying religion. It's all fake. It's all false. There's no beauty in it. You're an idiot. You know, it went on with worse names. And I came on and I said, you obviously don't know anthropology.
Yeah.
And he said, and you're an idiot if you think that there's anything to do with Christianity. That's beautiful. And I said, she wasn't a Christian in the sense that she goes to church, marches with the Westboro Baptist Church. You know, she finds beauty in the mythology of it. Mm-hmm. And I said, and if you knew anything about your own religions that you're yelling and screaming about, you would know where it all began. And he didn't want to be educated on it, and he flew off the handle at me again. And I sadly had to say goodbye to him off my Facebook because, you know, you can't fix stupid, and you can't teach the unwilling.
Yeah.
And, you know, ignorance is one thing, stupid is another.
Willfully.
Right, willfully. Mm-hmm. Willfully being stupid is not okay. And, you know, it's knowledge is power. And if you can find beautiful knowledge in every single religion, you've got a lot of power behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people get upset with me and they think I'm defending
promoting.
or promoting Christianity. And I'm not. I'm an occultist.
Right.
And people think, you know, you say occultist, they go, Satanist. You know, occult means belief in the unknown.
Right.
Every religion is actually an occult religion. Unless Jesus called you this morning, Brit, then it's unknown.
Right.
Right? Unless Odin, you know, gave you your chocolates as you walked out the door.
I did walk in with chocolate, by the way. I am on my moon cycle. Continue.
But do you know what I mean?
It's
all unknown. And somebody asked me, well, what does it all mean? What do you mean if we knew our religions? And I said, you've got to go back to Babylon and Sumeria. I'm not saying that they're the first religions. By far, they're not. And in their tablets, they actually mention they got their information from an older society. Mm. They took their religious cues from an older religion. We don't know what that is. Babylon was the first ones to put things in writing. Mm-hmm. Sumeria is the first one to have tablets stay intact. And they're almost coinciding with each other because Babylon and Sumeria, you know, back and forth in wars. One day you're called Babylon, one day you're called Sumeria, one day you're called Hittites, one day you're called Aztecs. Mm-hmm. It's all Babylonian history. And we don't know, we haven't dug up anything that shows anything that says that there was an older society. But then again, we're dealing with Iran and Iraq and some places that they won't let us, you know, dig.
Right.
Can't blame them. Can't blame them, you know. You know, paranoia runs deep when you have a bunch of people coming in with British and American flags.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a great history of not taking over your land.
Yeah.
You know, and saying, oh, yeah, this is great. We're putting that in our museums. And by the way, we put a cross up in your church.
Mm-hmm.
We're not too good at this anymore. Yeah. We're not. But if you take a look at Sumeria and what they did, you'll understand. And almost every religion borrowed from the Babylon era,
mm-hmm.
and simply changed them. Oh, what do they say? What do they say on the TV shows? Names and places have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
Right? Well, they kind of did the same thing. If you think about it, they borrowed from a religion, and instead of empowering that religion, so that they could have their people. Okay. To change the names. You can say Jesus, or you can say Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Both were in a cave for 3 days, resurrected.
Uh-huh.
You can say Osiris, or you can say, let's go back to Sumeria, Gilgamesh.
Uh-huh.
You can say Satan, or I can say Pazuzu. Mm-hmm. You can say Joseph and Mary, and I can say Marduk and Tiamat. Do you see what I'm saying?
I was reading about them this morning specifically, but yeah, definitely.
Do you see what I'm saying? There's, you know, you can say Hermes or Mercury. I can say Legba or Elegma.
And that's something I think we were touching on last time, too, and there's a... You know, basically the same. I mean, there are some, you know, slight differences in how they manifest, but just people conceiving of the same things or meeting the same things, whatever you want to call them, corporeal or not, and putting names on it.
And here's the interesting thing. And I think you and I were talking about this a little bit outside while we were waiting. Because, you know, you can't shut me up.
Please never. Never do.
In the most interesting thing, and why it's so borrowed from, and people don't understand this. They think that it's stolen from the religion. You stole that from us.
Right.
It's not stolen. I think it's lost in translation in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, you stole this. And they're like, no, it's Jesus's. No, it was Celtic. No, it was Norse. No, yeah. And I guess we've drawn distinct lines where we don't understand how it all came about.
Mm-hmm.
Babylon, when it came up, it was an oasis on the water, the rich farmlands, this gorgeous oasis. There were civilizations sprouted up around it. And there's been wars from the very beginning, but not religious ones, really. Not the way you think of it. Okay. The Hittites, the Aztecs, they saw water. They needed water. They went to war to have water. Okay. Kind of what you see going on right now with big water companies claiming rights to all the waters.
Yeah.
Okay. And saying it's not a human right to have water. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Larger wars than you have been fought for a drop, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that they did, though, is when they came in, Babylon had this gorgeous religion, this beautiful religion. It's in-depth, intense religion. And they knew this. Their religions weren't so intense. Okay. They conquered the land for the water. Mm-hmm. But they didn't take away the religion. They didn't. They saw beauty and intelligence in the religion that was there. So they adopted it. And they changed a few names, but for the most part, it was adopted. And they saw the laws in the land. And they saw how society was set up. And they thought, this works. We're keeping it. They didn't go in and enslave a country simply because they won a war.
Right.
They didn't take the water away from them. They didn't send them out to their outskirts. They came in, they won the war, and they said, look, yeah, we're putting our king in charge. Our king likes your religion. Our king is going to adopt Shamash, the sun king.
Okay. Right.
And we're going to be okay with that. All right. And the thing was, is that nobody had any problems. The next conquering civilization came in, adopted the religions, adopted the laws, changed the names slightly. And it wasn't so much that they changed the names as much as they added in a couple of their favorites, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have your Marduk. You can have your Olans. Okay. We would like to introduce Lilith to you. We're not going to say she's replacing anybody. We would just like to say, can she come in and join the party?
Right.
You know, yeah, we party crashed. Mm-hmm. But we brought a gift. We brought Lilith. Sure, yeah, okay, right? The more the merrier. Because people didn't have this, my religion, your religion. And it was, well, what is she about? Can we meet her? Can we, you know, talk about her? Mm-hmm. You know, introduce us to your Lilith. And they thought, you know what? She is lovely. What a lovely girl. She can stay. You know, somebody get her a drink and some hors d'oeuvres and she may stay. And the conquering civilizations did this. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at what the gods did in Sumeria and the goddesses and their positions, okay, and, you know, everything about them, you take a look at their base foundation definition, not so much the ritual or the altar or the language,
right,
just their foundation, okay? Shamash, the sun god, goes across the sky. Okay, and he's met by the lady of the evening, right? Sin, looks like it's spelt sin. Mm-hmm. Sin, huh? Well, the moon goddess, or the moon god, I should say, right? Who took over from Shamash? I don't know. How different of that than to that is, say, Ra and Nuit,
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a look through the religions, and base definitions stayed the same. Well, everybody gets mad at Christianity, and they say, they came in and they wrecked our religions and they wouldn't let us practice.
Right.
How wrong are you on that one?
Mm-hmm.
What is Easter?
Right, yeah.
What is Christmas? We, as anthropologists, know for a fact that Jesus was born sometime in late June.
Mm-hmm.
We know this because of the star lineups that were talked about.
Right.
Okay. Why change to December 25th?
To coincide with, the neighboring celebration that was already happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
You take it for the day of
solstice.
The solstice. Yeah. Okay. But if you go all the way back, who began the solstice? The Sumerians did. Gilgamesh was born there then. And great kings came to see him. From him, he was spouted forth, because I don't know if you know this, Gilgamesh was not a god, Gilgamesh was a king.
Yeah.
He was a man.
Yeah.
him. He was then a savior, considered the son of God.
Huh.
Gilgamesh, I don't know if you know this, was crucified on a cross.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. That was a popular punishment in the Middle East, by the way.
Yeah.
Not just a Christian thing. If you were a thief, anything, you were put on the cross. So, what do we know? We know that a whole lot of things were borrowed from. Some were stolen, some were taken. But at the time, there was a beauty, and nobody was angry.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Christians were a very small fraction. If the Celts or the Norse or the Egyptians were that angry, they could have risen up and taken out Christianity in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But what were they used to?
The exchange.
The exchange. And in the beginning, we have that exchange. Now, we all know that the Bible's been rewritten thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of times. By the church, by leaders, by kings, presidents, dictators, popes, priests inside their own villages. People couldn't read.
Yeah.
So it was easy to pick up a book and say, Brit, according to the word of God, you know, you can't wear that choker.
Because I'm not the one reading it, so right. I can't. Yeah.
Right. See, it says it right there. You know, I know you can't read it, but it says it right there in this book. Mm-hmm. You have no clue. Okay? Take off that choker. Do you know what I mean?
Good luck.
Good luck on that. Right? But do you understand what was being said? They manipulated things to control. And, of course, power gives men the, you know, power is inherently evil. It really is given to men who don't know how to deal with it. When I say men, I'm not talking about masculine. I'm talking about mankind.
Yeah.
You know. So if you take a look at Samaria, Christian church said that they could not do things, but they borrowed from it. And if you take a look at Jesus' life, which is what my dissertation was on, the myth of Christ, you take a look at all the things that they borrowed from Samaria, and you realize that, you know, when virgin birth was a slang. He didn't die on a cross. Even the original drawings show him with his eyes open.
Yeah.
Right? If you go to, say, the Getty Museum, his eyes are open in all the old paintings. His arms are around the people carrying him up to the cave. He's not dead. Yeah, and then you take a look at India, and then you take a look at what Christianity adopted from India. India has Yahshua, which is Jesus' name, Yahshua and Mary Magdalene coming over. And it's not written like, oh my God, the Son of God came from Middle East to us. Yeah. This guy just came and he was speaking about this and he taught us this and we taught him that. Now the church shows Jesus with the Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a chakra. That's a chakra, my friend. That's a chakra. There's beauty. And if you take a look at the beauty, it literally is all from the time of Samaria. I was talking to you. Samaria had no classes. If you dug ditches in the morning, you were a doctor in the afternoon, you were a priest in the evening. Everybody pulled three stations of life.
You know, and also when you were mentioning that, I was thinking, I was sort of wondering what that has to, I don't sound loud enough. I was wondering what that has to do with maybe, because, you know, from my understanding with, at least with Sumerian mythology, were humans not created as sort of a slave race to the gods to do the work for them?
No.
How do you mean?
Most of the gods were kings or warriors. Mm-hmm. They came up, so they were human. And so you were not slaves to your gods. You were equals to them. And if you were equals to the gods, then you couldn't be better than the man sitting next to you. Therefore, if the man sitting next to you dug ditches too.
Right.
You were no better. And then in the afternoon, you were a judge, you were a lawyer, you were a doctor, you were a practitioner. And then at night, you were priests, you were practitioners, you were the therapists you were all to the religion. And the religion actually commanded that. All men are equal. All men are equal to the gods. I don't know where we lost that. Somewhere after Egypt, we lost that. Because the Egyptians made men, their religion empowered men. We see slightly after that in anthropology, religions begin to enslave men.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, power is inherently evil for those who don't know how to wield it.
And that's what we've become used to, I feel like. Yeah, on that note, I mean, I feel like in what you're describing is really the attitude of the sharing and the exchange and the counter to the religion to enslave. And you see people almost being in love with their chains when they talk about their specific brand of religion, which I'm not going to sound like a new atheist or go off on it, of course. Right. But it's unfortunately something that's kind of pushed in a corner, that it sort is. Of attitude, which I am always seeking out.
So, want to drop some bombshells
yes,
on you?
Yes, please. In the last 5 minutes, go right ahead.
I have brought back and resurrected Pagan Day Fest.
Fantastic.
In Southern California. It was the largest religious tolerance festival and the first ones to invite every single religion in the world. We're going to be having that at Woodley Park in Van Nuys, September 13th. We have vendors. We have authors, free workshops. It's free to attend. It's free to come. Lots of shopping, temples, covens, grottos, churches, everybody talking, authors, the whole bit. I was going to release it today. I didn't get enough time to clean it up. But I am releasing tomorrow over at Panpipes and on my website, the Kabbalah Treatise on how to travel the Tree of Life using all the philosophies, not just Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
I am also dropping voodoo treaties out for the practice of the Gede family. I am also proud to announce that that herbal encyclopedia that I was working on for alchemists, that's dropping. And I am proud to announce that in mid-June, I'm releasing my anthropological look at the occult religions. The Base Foundations Historically, it's a 500-page work of everything that I have learned in my life.
That sounds like not something to be scoffed at. Wow.
Yeah. And then the recipe book will be coming out in mid-June for cooking, and there'll be a test kitchen. And again, I do hope that you will be joining me for the test kitchen.
Oh, I count on getting my invite, and I will be there.
And of course, there's vegan plates, veggie plates, and meat plates, but it'll be what you eat. The other big thing, you know how I did my equine line last show?
Mm-hmm.
I launched that successfully. I'm now opening up BGA K9.
Sounds
and we'll
good.
Be working alchemy with dogs.
Wow.
And rabbits.
Well, I expect to hear more on that.
I thank you again for having me.
It was my pleasure. I honestly was taking it in and I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
So, my devilish dears, tune in next week at the same time for my interview with the Alone Experience for more insight on fear. And remember, only 4 days and 5 months until next Halloween. This has been Brital Mabarak and Dr. Jamie Darling for KPCRadio.com. As above, so below, here is Horror by In This Moment. I got by your heart, I am the sun.